This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
James 5:11 says, indeed, this is an interesting statement. We count them blessed who endure. Those who endure, what do they endure? They endure difficulties, trials, tribulations, troubles, frustrations. You might hit a few of those in a week. Those who endure them, we count them blessed. Why are they blessed? Because God is using each and every incident to mature them, to bless them, and to grow them up. So he said, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and have seen the end result intended by the Lord. You've seen Job, you see what he went through, and you see the end of Job's life, how he was blessed and was given twice what he ever had before. But also he gained amazing maturity during those times of difficulty. And so Job is commended for his patience. And he did not give up on God in the midst of his troubles. And that's key this morning. He did not give up on God in the midst of his troubles. Although he had his moments of frustration, because the trial was long, he had moments of frustration. He continued to trust in God right to the end. He would catch himself. He would get off a little bit, grumble a little bit, be frustrated a little bit, as all of us do because of humanity. And then we catch ourselves and we say, no. I'm going to stay on the Lord. I'm going to keep trusting in Him, and I'm going to believe Him through this time, because He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me, and He's got it all under control. And so Job was able to do that throughout his difficult time in his life. Job 13:15, you know the famous saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if this trial kills me, I'm still going to trust the Lord. And the latter part of that verse we don't usually talk about, but he says, even though I will defend my own ways before him. And that means that his friends were accusing him of bringing this problem upon himself. He said, you must have done something. They said to him, you must have done something wrong. You must have somehow really teed off God somehow, because he's after you. He's out to get you. And what did you do wrong? And of course, he searched his heart and said, there's nothing. I can't think of anything I did that would bring this kind of a calamity upon my life. And so I'll defend my ways. I didn't do a thing. I don't know why this is happening, but it's happening. But I'm still going to trust God through it. And of course, you and I know why these things happen. They happen because of something called the trial of our faith. God allows difficulty to try a person's faith. And trying it doesn't mean to see if he's got faith, but to expand his faith, to expand his capacity, to make him stronger in the difficulties of life than ever before. And so God uses these things. The devil's strategy in this, of course, was to cause Job to think about his problems instead of his God. That's the devil's strategy, to think about my problems instead of God. I've got people that I call from time to time that in this area, in Palm Beach County and so forth, and every time I call them, I try to encourage them, try to get them to come back out to church and stuff, but all that comes out of their mouth is how hard it is for them, how difficult it is, how much they're going through, how much they're suffering. And their concentration is always on themselves and what they're going through, and to the extent where it just erases God from their life. And they won't come back to church. They don't find any help in that, because they're just going through so much, it's so hard, it's so difficult, and they're wrapped up in themselves. They're self-occupied in the trial rather than Christ-occupied. Instead of being occupied with Christ, they're occupied with what they're going through and how painful it is. And you got to get away from that, because that just kills your faith. To be self-occupied really weakens your faith. And God wants us to learn to look beyond our problems, look beyond our situations, and to stare at Him. And to have trust in Him, and to believe in Him. So that's the devil's strategy. Self-occupation. People pray. You'll see this, and you probably may have even done it. I've done it probably in my past. But we pray, but we don't trust Him after we pray. And James mentions that too. He says in James 1:6, let him ask in faith, not doubting, because he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Who's he talking about? He's talking about somebody who knows he has a need, goes to God and prays for that need, and then walks away from the prayer time still emotionally upset. Like just like the waves, there's no calmness when they leave their prayer closet. There isn't any calmness. It's just turmoil and white caps on their emotions, and they're just stressing out, and they're still frustrated, and they're still upset, and they're still angry at other people, and on it goes. They pray, but they don't have rest after they pray. The thing about faith is that faith leads us into rest. Faith always leads you into a place of calmness. Casting your care upon Him means that He has the cares and I have calmness now. I can relax. I can rest. I can just know that He's got it in His hands and He's going to take care of it, and I don't have to deal with it. But this type of person in James 1:6, it says, let him ask in faith, not doubting. But if he doesn't, he's like a wave that's tossed in the wind. It's like rough seas in his emotions. And that's something that James points out. This is a prayer without emotional calmness. Thank you. But Job's friends wanted Job to examine himself. And so they would always come at him, and they would want him to examine himself to find out what was wrong with him, and that's why the problems were coming. So they were always being used of the devil here to get him to look at himself instead of to look at the Lord. They wanted him to acknowledge that he deserved to suffer. They wanted him to beat himself down. But some friends, huh? But Job lost his health. He lost his wealth. He lost his family. He lost a lot in this trial. The only one the devil spared was his negative wife, because she's useful to the kingdom of darkness to nag at him and so forth. Negative people are useful to the devil. You can remember that the next time you feel like being negative. Negative people are very useful to the devil. He hires them immediately. You go right to the head of the job list, and he hires you immediately. I got a negative Christian. Let me use that person before they get right. Job's situation did not change until he put the kingdom first. Job's situation didn't change for him until he put the kingdom first. He got out of self-occupation. He wasn't really in it himself, although they tried to put him in it. But he put the kingdom first, which means he puts others first ahead of himself. And in Job 42:10, it tells us that. It says, the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. So he put the others ahead of himself, and then God reversed the situation. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. So Job's prayer was genuine, but it was for the benefit of others, not for himself. Now, it's not wrong to pray for yourself, obviously. In fact, we're told to pray for ourselves. But in this situation, Job had to put others ahead of himself, and put the kingdom first. In Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Don't get emotional. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the Lord. So it's not wrong to pray for yourself. God wants us to make our request known to Him. It's the anxiety that's the problem. Because any sign of anxiety is a sign of disbelief. If you're going to stress out, you're going to have worry, you're going to be frustrated, all of those are symptoms of a person not trusting. All of those means that I'm not resting. I'm somehow taking the burden of this whole situation upon myself again. And I'm having an emotional reaction to it. And however that comes out, it could come out in anger. You could blame other people for it. You could put yourself down. You could become discouraged. You could get depressed. I mean, there's just probably 50 to 60 different emotional avenues you could take when you do that to yourself, depending on the type of person you are. But that's not God's solution. God's solution is prayer and then rest, relax. It's in His hands. You've made your request known to Him. You can make it known to Him again tomorrow, the next day, or the next day. That's okay. But each time I rest, I relax, I trust, and I stay occupied with Christ and what He'll do and not occupied with myself. I put the kingdom first. I think about other people first. And that is one of the greatest solutions to people's problems we have on earth, is to put other people ahead of yourself. Because if you're always just dealing with yourself, it's going to be a very long, unhappy life. Because, I don't want to say it. But in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Who is he going to devour? Those that don't cast their care upon the Lord. Those that are burdened by it. Those that are emotional. Those that are stressed out. Those that are impatient. Those that are frustrated. Those that are angry. And all of those things. Those that are feeling sorry for themselves. Those who are discouraged and depressed. That's the ones that become targets. Those are the ones that become targets. Being sober-minded doesn't mean that you don't have any alcohol to drink. It could mean that, but it doesn't mean that. Essentially, being sober means that I'm thinking correctly. I'm thinking with God. I have a biblical perspective on this. It means that I'm not under the influence of things outside of the Bible, outside of God. I'm sober-minded, and I'm under no other influence but God. Resist him in verse 9. How do I resist him? It tells me, steadfast in the faith. Be steadfast in your faith. Be steadfast in trusting God through the situation. And if I'm trusting him, I'm also resting, relaxing, knowing that he's got it under control. So that's how I resist him. I resist him with my faith, holding up the shield of faith, which quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. And he throws five fiery darts of condemnation, of discouragement, and everything else at you. So knowing that same suffering, and this is the latter part of verse 9, know this, that the same suffering are experienced by your brothers.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program, and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist.